The bottom here in the Beis Gemara makes a comment. Shiurin chatzitze mechitzin halacha l'mosh mizinai. That's a quote from the Amora Rav. There's a halacha l'mosh mizinai in the world of shiurim, the world of chatzitzos, and the world of mechitzos. And as we saw the Gemara in Vav on Beis, the end of that conversation, the Gemara has a 1.5 of conversation about that. The Gemara comes to the conclusion before the two dots, Vav on Beis, and near the top, what is this all about? What's this halacha of Moshe Mishina Mechitzin? The Gemara says certainly includes good, lavud, and dofen akuma. So Dalet Amud Aleph, we spent a lot of time talking about dofen akuma. And now we turn to Dalet Amud Beis, we turn our attention to the world of good. Specifically, good literally means in Aramaic, pull. Gemara in one place in Baba Basra, around Dafi Gimel. That was a good, or a good. Pull or I will pull. That's one way of doing a chaluka on a shutfas. We own a car together. So it's not really something that we can divide in half if we want to dissolve the partnership. So I can offer you, either I'll buy you, get to choose whether I buy you out or you buy me out. So how is that referred to? Good or igud. Pull or I will pull. You can pull it to you. You get the thing and then you pay me for the half. Or I'll pull. I'll take it and I'll pay you for that. So that's the word good. Means to pull. So good asik means pull up. So let's take a look at this. And the Gemara has a series of different, what seem like separate shakvataryas. A memory here, a braisa here, or some discussion, another braisa, but they all, so we're going to see they all come together in a very coherent way. Even though the first piece of this discussion finishes a series that we began on Dalet Amud Beis, on Gimel Amud Beis, excuse me. Remember the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, Gemara had began a series of the Haisa Gavoas, all the different cases. And Rashi commented, there's going to be a series of different Piskei Dinim that all revolve around Sukkahs that have the wrong height and how you deal with particular solutions. So this is the beginning of the Good Asik conversation, officially the end of that. Then comes the two dots, and then in Tanur Rabbanan that gets a new conversation started. But Lama says, we'll see, it all hangs together. Haisa Gavoa, let's jump in. Dalam and Aleph near the top. Line number 6. Haisa Gavoha me Esrim Amma. You have your sukkah that's more than 20 amas high. And here's our final proposed solution. Uvanabo Amud Shu Gavoa Asara Tvachim. Vyeshbo Hechsher Sukkah. When you build a pillar, rather than building a broad itztavo, you build a pillar. But the pillar is 10 tefachim high. And it's wide enough to be a sukkah. Zayin al zayin. As fellows pointed out, the interesting quirk in Rashi. Rashi talks about being zayin umashu, al zayin umashu. So what's the din? So up until now, the Gemara has been looking at this. The beginning of these cases, the Gemara was trying to figure out, can you properly raise, what would it take to raise the height of the floor? And then, of course, the Gemara was focused on, can we use the rule of Dofen Akuma if I'm going to make part of the area kosher and treat the rest as chach pasul? Now they're going to forget about Dofen Akuma. How about creating new walls? How do they create new walls? Because they have an amud. The Gemara, Brisa tells me in Maseches Shabbos that we saw this earlier in the year. The definition of Rosh Hashayachid is an area that's mukav mechitzas. The area is at least a footprint of 4x4 tvachim, and as mechitzas are 10 tvachim tall. What does that look like? So it could be a space with walls, whether it has a roof or not, or it could be a ditch. Every ditch, by definition, is walls, the size of walls, or it could be a reverse ditch, meaning something raised, an amud. I have an amud, 10 tefachim high, 4x4 on top. So that is the status of mechitza. The sides of the, that's what it sounds like, simple understanding, that the sides of the pillar constitute like a mechitza. It's the center, the middle of it is full. There's no empty space, but it's treated like a mechitza of yud tefachim, and the top of the space is 4x4 tefachim, which is the minimum footprint, minimum length and width for Rishos Yachid, that qualifies as Rishos Yachid. That's Mishnayis, it's Brisos, Ramesach, Shabbos, and Amud, which is 10 Tvachim high, 4 Tvachim wide, Rishos Yachid. So the question is, how about let's do it over here? I'll have an Amud which is 10 tefachim high and 7 tefachim wide. So that sounds like I have my sukkah. Now, the difference between Rosh Yachid and sukkah is that Rosh Yachid doesn't need a roof. The sukkah does. This is no problem. I have my schach up top. I have my schach up top, and here's my amud. I'm good to go. I have my mechitzas, 10 tefachim. I have my schach on top. We had a mishnah and daf tezayin. The walls don't have to touch the sukkah. So the walls are down here, and the schach is up there at Givaldik. The Gemara says, does that work? Bala bo amud gavo asar tefachim. V'yesh bo hechshu sukkah. V'yesh bo hechshu sukkah. So it's a 7x7, so Gevaldik. Savra Abayla, may mar gudasik mechitzta, or gudasik mechitzasa. Abay thought we can say gudasik, pull up the walls. I have the sides of the pillar. So I can imagine those walls extend all the way up to the tzach. So we're good to go. Amalei Rava, no. It's no good. There is a rule out there of a good asik. You need mechitzos nikaros. You need mechitzos nikaros. You need mechitzos nikaros. What does that mean? So let's take a look at Rashi. Then we'll take a look at the Ran will help us out. So Rashi says, "Bana ba amud gavoa asara." At the case I built the amud, it's 10 tefachim tall. Rachok mi adfan asara, very far from the walls. Keep that Rashi in the back of your mind. We're gonna come back to it. Uvo hechsher sukkah. The hechsher sukkah Rashi explains means yesh barosho, not in it, but on top of it. It has the length and width. Shivu mashu, shivu mashu. They tell you on the side. The misar shas. Look at the maharsha is bothered by. The umashu, as guys pointed out during the seder. Okay. Good asik mechitzasa. Pull up and that's Abaye. Abaye said this is gevaldik. Abaye said this is an excellent case based on the principle of good asik. Good asik mechitzasa shel amud. Shemi bachutz saviv. Pull up the mechitzos of the amud. Shemi bachutz saviv. They're all that surround the outside of it. So again, just to get a visual. So here I am. Here's my floor, and here's my sach. And here is my pillow. So, but this is filled in. It's solid. There's no empty space inside. But you say, look, it has mechitzos. So look at the edges. The edges of the pillar, as though, and extend them upward. And we'll be good. Right? That's the shita of which Amora? That's the shita of Abaye. Yesh ben gova yud, 10 tefachim high walls. And therefore, chashuv a sukkah al-rosho, on top of the amud, that's called the sukkah. Dofnei ha-amud, dofno seha al-idei gurasik. The walls are going to, the walls of the amud will be dofno seha, will be the defanos of the sukkah based on gurasik. So we'll see this is extending up. And schach shel mayla kashala. She'eino lamala mikaf mirosh amud. One last point Rashi makes. His assumption is that this amud is getting you within 20 amas of the schach. So now it's all hunky-dory. We solved our problem. In the past, on Dalam and Aleph, we used to be building an itztava. Yeah, itztava has to be next to the walls. Itztava maybe has to be touching the walls, or at least near the walls, say, Dof Nakuma. Yeah, but if it's 10 tefachim high, then we're good to go. I don't need the walls. I have new walls. I have good asik walls. That's what Abaye said. And Rava said, nothing doing. You need mechitzas nikaras. What does that mean? But mechitzas Rashi leaves us hanging. What do you mean mechitzas nikaras? So the Ritva says something. The Ritva is hard because it's sort of intermingled. The Ran gives us what the Ritva said, straightforward. So if you guys look at the Ritva, peek at the Ritva afterwards, you'll see that he's making the same point intermingled with other points. Let's take a look at the Ran. The first piece of Ran. just as a technical point in terms of how Mar Makomos get written down. Just for you to be aware, you'll see two different styles, and I stuck one of them in this today's Mar Makomos. Sometimes you have more than one Dibra Maskil on the same page of a Rishon with the same, often, and once in a while, there'll be more than one Dibra Maskil with the same first couple of words. So sometimes you just give two or three words, but sometimes a lot of the same first couple of words. Same, two Diburim that start with the same four or five words, and sometimes you see that Harishon or Hasheni, as opposed to, it doesn't actually say the word Harishon in the Ran, right? There are two Diburim that begin with the words Vigar Sinan too. You have the first figure seen on two and the second figure seen on two. Let's take a look here at the middle of Beis Amin Aleph, Bedape Harif. Beis Dalet Pei Hei Resh stands for Bedape Harif. The first figure seen on two. By the way, when you see figure seen on, as an aside, in the Ran, it's because the Rif leaves out big chunks of the Gemara. That's his job, to cut it down to just the bare minimum that's next Nesar Elach HaMaisa. So the Ran sometimes wants to comment on lines of Gemara that are in the Rif. That's what he'll say. Oh, Vigarsinan, Vigemara. The Gemara says, mean the Rif doesn't. The Gemara does say. Why the Rif leaves that is a good question. We're not going to do that right now, but that may be significant. So let's take a look at Vigarsinan 2. Smack in the middle of Beis Amin Aleph Bedape Rif. Vigarsinan, again, if you haven't found it yet, it's right over here. I don't know where my finger is. Vigarsinan Su Vigemara. We also, the Garcina and Tubi Gemara, we also have in the Gemara, in addition to the pieces I already quoted, Haisa Gavoa Mikafa Ama Banaba Mud Gavoa Sara Tvachim, Ba Heksha Sukha, our Gemara. Abayas thought you could say Gulasik Mechitzasa. Rabbi says, no, you require Mechitzas Nikaros. And Veleka, these aren't Mechitzas Nikaros, and therefore it doesn't, not going to help. Peirush. The Ran says, what does that mean? Alpha Gabi Shabbos are meaning Gulasik. By Shabbos to say Gurasik. That's very nice. But lo, I mean, Hachi Gabi Sukkah. We're not going to say that by Sukkah. Shabbos you can say Gurasik. By Sukkah. But even by Mechitas Nikaros. We need, what does Nikar mean? Noticeable, visible, distinguishable. We need, in other words, real walls. Not Gurasik walls. But the walls here are totally imaginary. I need some real walls. I need some real walls. After all, he says, Endira, dummy. Okay, and then he goes into other situations. He says, we need real walls. He goes on to say, maybe there are other imaginary type of walls that are a little better than good asik. Pitikra Yorvasosim does work, but good asik doesn't cut any ice. Good asik doesn't qualify as to provide the walls of a sukkah. Okay, so that's what we're saying. Rav is saying, you got to be careful what you import from Shabbos to sukkah. Shabbos, Gurasik is a beautiful rule, but by Sukkah, we're not so willing to accept Gurasik. We need real walls. After all, it has to be Ke'en Dira. It has to be like a place you actually live. It's not enough to be, and this, by the way, brings together at least two different things we've seen in the past. Right, number one, we already saw the Ran told us 20 lines earlier, 30 lines earlier, right, the difference at the top of Beis Amin Aleph, the difference between a dofen and a mechitza. And by the way, I came across in Ginas Egos, Rav Shechter has a piece on mechitzos. So he puts it all together. Mestama, what I told you 2 weeks ago, the things I remembered from Shir, I didn't remember having specific heard in Shir. So he puts it all together. So the Rav explained that's pshat in the Tosfos. The whole package is all tied together. So that we had discussed, remember, the difference between a dofen for a sukkah versus a mere mechitza for Shabbos. Mechitza for Shabbos, the way the Reb Chaim describes, just want to surround the space. But for a sukkah, you actually need things. You actually need items. He actually talks about maybe if a dofen for a sukkah was atzei asher, it wouldn't be good. That's the Rav apparently made that suggestion. Someone made a suggestion here. So you're mechaben to the Rav. I forget who made that suggestion. Right? That's that idea again that Tosfos had laid out in code, and the Ran had said explicitly earlier, near the top of the Amud, that a sukkah actually needs a real wall. Mashenkin Shabbos just need a mechitza. So the Ran sounds like he's again drawing the same idea. Shabbos, you could say gurasik. Okay, we imagine there's a wall, the mechitza. Here we pull it up, that counts. But for sukkah, actually needs something more substantive. I need a dofa. And the Ran adds another point here. The other point he adds is Kain Dira.
Kein dira sounds a lot like another machlokas Abaye and Rav. And we're back on earlier. We had machlokas Abaye and Rav about the hutzim yordin l'soch asara. Remember that? Abaye thought it's gevaldik. As long as they have the little sticks that stick in the mechitza, that schach is 10 tefachim tall, but the little bits of schach that stick down, al pi halacha, from a technical mechitza standpoint, they don't count, because they're chamasim rubim mitzilasan, they're not so significant, amount is quantity-wise. So if I said it's fine, al pi din, your roof is 10 tefachim high, you're good to go. Rebbe said, I'm sorry, that's not sufficient. Why? Because he said to dira srucha. It's not enough to have, by the technical legal rules of mechitza, that it's good enough. It has to actually be livable. So that sounds very much like what the Ran is saying here. I would suggest that the Ran is saying that it's a machlok zabai rava l'shitasam. And so once again, Abai is saying, yeah, just apply the laws of mechitza. Shine. And Rava says, what do you mean? But sukkah is more just mechitza. Sukkah is dira, which again may relate to it could be the Ran is tying all together. The reason why you need a dauphin, because it's actually, you need more than just a mechitza, you need dira. So it's very nice that there's a halacha lo shmi sinai, and dofen akuma, this is al pi din a mechitza, but that's not good, that might be good enough for Shabbos, that's not good enough for sukkah. For sukkah, you need the real deal. You need something actually substantive. I need real devaros. That's what the Ran says, and they take a look at the Ritva. They give you sort of bits and pieces, but it's clear that he's taking more or less the same approach. And Rav is telling me that that he can't. That Rav is telling Abaye, and that's how we paskin. That we paskin like Rav. Amud is no good. Why? Because good asik is fine in the world of Shabbos, but it's not acceptable in the world of Sukkah. Okay, that's the first piece of the Gemara. About good asik, and with that, let us carry on. Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan. And it's important also, a little bit of historical context is critical. I know we've spoken about this in the past, that it's very easy to learn Gemara for many years and never know who lived when. And you talk about Kuperman, right? He lived after Moshe Rabbeinu, he lived before Moshe Feinstein. Right, which is, again, that's something, but it's definitely not sufficient. Certainly not for our Gemara, it's kedai to know. Kedai to know, we did this once before, but let's do it again. Just your basic, there's more to do, but just your basic. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was a student by the Yeshua, a drop more after all. Pesach is coming. You gotta know
Moshe
Rabbeinu. He's up there. Yehuda Hanasi is the hero. He's the poster on the wall of the Rambam. Right? We spoke about that, right? That's sort of Shaylat's theory. The Rambam is a personal hero of Yehuda Hanasi. So it's always worth asking: who are your whose face is hangs on your walls? So if the Rambam would have had posters on the wall, it would have been Yehuda Hanasi. Okay. Yehuda Hanasi, by the way, he has a. Yehuda Nasi is among other the Talmud of Meir. The Meir of Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, of Aliyahu Dordek, who's the organized the Mishnah Sedurah, so he points out that who was probably Chazar Mishnayis a couple hundred times by now, Shas Mishnayis. So he points out that 80% of, and he could be, he did a stat in his head, 80% of name statements in Mishnayis come from one of those four people. They were all Talmidim of? Right. All from the second yeshiva. Okay. And then Rabbi Kiva in turn has Rabbeim who are famous, like Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua, who come to him for the Seder and Bnei Brak. Why they come to the Talmud is a good question. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. So again, this all happened in Eretz Yisrael. Now Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi has. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi has a number of Talmidim. His Talmud, he has younger Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan, who stays in Eretz Yisrael. He has some older Talmidim like Rav and Shmuel, who moved to Babel. Reb Yochanan has in turn Reish Lakish, and then and several generations of Amoraim Eretz Yisrael before they get shut down by the Romans. You know, Rav and Shmuel become the first generation of Amoraim and Bavel, and they have in the second generation you have names like Rav Nachman and Rav Huna and Rav Chista, and then the third generation, easier way to count, is Rabba and Rav Yosef. Then you have Rava and Abaye, and then so on and so forth. Papa, Ravina and Rashi. That's your basic layout of 300, 400 years of Masorah of Jewish Lakha. 300, 400 years of Jewish intellectual history. Okay, so this is important. That's the reason we're about to see. So, these Piskei Dinim were all later Amorim. They're mostly Abaye and Rava, or after that. Rashi was sensitive to that on Gimel Beis. And now, the Gemara starts, now we're done with those Piskei Dinim, and now we get started with having worked off of our primary text being the Mishnah. Before we go on to the next line of the Mishnah, we now, as you see this pattern in other sugyos also, beginning with Pesachim and elsewhere, now that we worked off the Mishnah, now let's work off of other texts like Brises. Tana Rabbanan always introduces almost always introduces a brisa which is going to function like a Mishnah in terms of it's, we're going to have a whole new Shach V'Tarya working off of the brisa. Tana Rabbanan, a new brisa, a fascinating brisa. Not arba kundisin the sikach al gabam. I have some sort of beams, four poles. These four kundisin, and I have them. I put schach over, as I have them arranged in a square, four poles, and I put schach across the top. I have tree branches, whatever it is, and I stick them over the four poles. And I want to know, is that kosher? I don't really have walls, I just have poles and schach. Rabbi Yaakov, strangely, the Tanna Rabbi Yaakov is machshir. He says, fine. Chacham say, no, it's no good. If you look at that brisa, and what's the obvious problem? With walls, right? We learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah said you need to have 2.5 walls. So what's Pshat Rabbi Yaakov? Chacham, we understand. What's Pshat Rabbi Yaakov? Does Rabbi Yaakov disagree with our Mishnah? Maybe. He's a Tana. Maybe he holds you don't need walls. You just need tzach. Yeah, you need to have poles. You don't have poles. The tzach is going to fall on your head. The tzach has to be 10 tefachim off the ground. Is that Pshat? So no Amora thought that's Rabbi Yaakov held, which is fascinating. The Machlok is not wrong where Rabbi Yaakov held, but no one says that he disagrees with that mission. Everyone assumed, no. Amoraim all assume that all the Tanaim held you have to have walls for your sukkah. The question is, how creative can you be with the walls? So where are the walls if all you have are poles? That's the Machlok is Rav Nachman, Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Where are the hidden walls of Rabbi Yaakov? So Rav Huna said, the Brisa didn't give us a lot of details. Where is this happening? So Rav Huna said, it must be machlokas al svas hagag. It must be that the machlokas is a specific, he makes an okimta pshat. Okimta means you take a general sounding statement of the Tanaim and you nail it down to only talk about one particular subset of cases. So Rav Huna makes a big okimta. His kundisim are on top of a roof. And not only on top of a roof, the roofs in the days of Tanaim, The houses tend to have flat roofs. You see that in different masechtas. They mostly had flat roofed houses, and they used the roofs for stuff. It was like a second floor, sort of like an attic. It was an open air attic, which in northeastern America doesn't work very well because you never know when it's going to rain or snow. But in Eretz Yisrael, for you are certain, you're guaranteed for months and months and months of the year there's not going to be any rain. So an open air attic is useful. So you have a flat top roof. Assume you have a way to get Mishnah and Malchus talk about, not absolutely flat, a little bit angled so the water can drain off, but basically a flat top roof. They would actually often would build there, you see it throughout the Masechta, you see in the Bikiyas, they often would build a sukkah on the roof because the roof was flat. So he's assuming the sukkah is on the roof. Not only the sukkah on the roof, but the poles are al svas hagag. The poles are at the edges of the roof. Rabbi Yaakov saw Vermin Gudasi Mechitasa. Rabbanan, according to Huna, is can you apply Gurasik? Rabbi Yaakov says, of course you need walls, but the walls are the walls down below, and then those can carry up. Oh, good. And Chachamim say, no,
That's not sufficient. Beautiful. Avo be'emtza ha'gag, Rav Huna goes on to say, divrei ha'kol p'suluk. Be'emtza ha'gag, for sure it's a problem, because be'emtza ha'gag, there's no, where's your good asik? Right, so if I have a situation like this, keep the same color scheme as before, if I have, here's my house, two houses, right. House number one. Make it Israeli. House number one. And house number two. So house number one. House number one, I put the poles like this. It's not on top. House number two, I put the poles like this. It's not on top. Right. So house number one, the poles are as far as I got. So I can, according to Yaakov, I can say Gurasik. Right, so these walls will go up. And those are my walls. But over here, where's the Gerasik? There's nothing here. The Gerasik will be over here. It's not going to help me. That's where Rav Huna says, Machlokes is house number one, where the Kundesin are all Svas Hagad. The house number two, the Kundesin are Bemsa, there's no Gerasik. So even if Yaakov, Yaakov's whole Kula, the mystery of Yaakov's missing walls, Rav Huna's solution was that the reason why he was Kasha is because of Gerasik. No Gerasik, nothing doing. And you saw Tosis is very bothered. Yeah.
Did the Chacham say, according to Rav Huna, that Gerasik never works by
Sukkot? Ah, that's a good question. You want to know how does it relate back to the previous Gemara? Right. That's part of why the generations are important, because Abai and Rav are arguing after Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, so, which is important to think about as you progress through different readings of our Gemara. So in other words, Abai and Rav are presumably, maybe, working off of the Maskat. It's interesting to think about. But Tosis is already trying to figure this out. Well, one second, how does this relate to the previous Gemara? So Tosis, that's why that's very, very short Tosis. Aval Svas HaGa, actually no, we'll get to that Gemara later on. Let's get to that Gemara later. Let's get to that Tosis later on. Tosis, Dimas Aval is trying to put our two Gemaras together. Let's take a look. So, okay. The Pashas, again, at this point, Rav Huna says the Machlok is about good Asik. The Chacham don't hold of good Asik. So that seems to accord with Rava, who doesn't hold of good Asik. So far, at least, Piskei Dinim seem to line up. Does that mean that Rav Huna is saying that the machlokas Abai and Rava is a very machlokas ha-tanaim? That puts Abai in an awkward position. Why is Abai reading Pasuk like Rav Yaakov? Okay. Well, let's see what Rav Nachman say. Rav Nachman says, Be'emsa agag machlokas. No. Rav Nachman says, no, you got it wrong. Rav Huna said that the tanaim will argue by house number one. Rav Nachman says, no, that's all house number two. House number two. Wow. So it's not based on good asik. What's it based on? Something else. Something else, which we're going to get to at the end of the Gemara. So we'll hold off for now. But for now, the Gemara is still going to dig more into the Gerasik. We think, one second. Before we get to how could this possibly work, clearly not through Gerasik, what does Nachu mean, the Machlokas is Be'emtza HaGag? So what about house number one? Ibailahu. Gemara says, one second. The later Amoraim, the Bnei Yeshiva had a Shaila. Be'emtza HaGag, what does Nachman mean? Much as we saw in Pesachim Kuf Chesam Rav, right? Rav Nachman said something, and then all the later Amorim were trying to figure out, well, what exactly did he mean? Right, about the Haseba and the Kosas. He said, Rav Nachman made this like, maybe that was Rav Nachman's style, that he was very laconic, very brief, I'm not sure. We know that Rav was very, very terse. The Gemara says that explicitly, Rav was very terse. Maybe Rav Nachman also. Rav Nachman said, Be'emtzagag machlokas. So the question is, you mean only Be'emtza HaGag or even Be'emtza HaGag? I mean, Rav Huna says, this is maybe kosher, this is certainly possible. Rav Nachman says, no, this is maybe kosher, maybe possible. And therefore, this is certainly kosher, or this is also maybe. Ibayalahu, Be'emtza HaGag machalokes, aval svas HaGag divikol ksheira. He felt this is for sure, this is even better, this is definitely good, or no? Dilma Be'embuzu machalokes. It's machalokes by both. And the Gemara says, take him. We're really not sure. Really not sure. Again, what's the issue the Gemara is litigating? Is this is based on, if this is kasha, is based on Gedasik. If this is kasha, is based on something else, the Gemara is going to get to something fancier. So Rav Yaakov has some super, we're going to get to the Mishum Diomed. I was going to say at the end, maybe there's something else that can work here, which the Chacham don't hold of. But I mean, they're arguing both cases. They don't hold of the Mishum Diomed, and they also don't hold of the Gedasik. Chacham reject both, or no, the Chacham argue this, but here everyone agrees that it does work based on the simple principle that we know of Gedasik. So in other words, the Gemara's Shaila is, which we're taking, is according to Rav Nachman, whom we usually pass like this, Rav Huna, but we'll see more about Psak Halacha that Gemara is about to get into, should we assume that, should we assume that it's a machlokas tanam with a gudas, we say gudasik, or everyone agrees that we say gudasik? It's machlokas tanam, we're going to pass like the chachamim, thumbs down to svas hagag, thumbs down to gudasik. If everyone agrees it's kasher, even the chachamim, then thumbs up. The Gemara has a shayla halacha lamaisa. According to Rav Nachman, Lamaisa Svasagag is kasher because the Chacham agrees it's kasher, or Lamaisa Svasagag is pasul because the Machlokas and the Chacham say pasul. That's an important shaila. Important shaila, Lamaisa. Can I, especially if you have houses that have flat roofs, that seems like a pretty easy way to build your sukkah. Can I just put up poles and not bother with walls because I already have house walls down below? Or no? So Rav Huna says, Chacham hold no. Rav Nachman, I'm not really sure what he said. Did he say the Chacham hold no, or did he not say the Chacham hold no? Shaila halacha lemaisa, and it came up a lot. Again, it doesn't come up for us so much because we don't have, unless you live in an apartment building, we don't have flat top roofs. Apartment buildings have flat top roofs, but private homes do not have flat top roofs. Back in the old days, all the private houses had flat top roofs. Instead of having vertical apartment buildings, they all had horizontal apartment buildings, otherwise known as chatzeros. They have little houses with the space in between, the chatzah, that was the lobby of the apartment building, apartment complex. But that's a real shayla. What's the story, halacha l'maisa, with a dal kundesin al svas hagag? It's a shayla halacha l'maisa, and it's also a shayla conceptually. What's the shayla conceptually? Right, do you say gerasek or not? Do you say gerasek or not? And then, as we saw, we have to go back to the interesting, surprising psak of the Rambam. And the Rambam says what? Kasha. Meaning he's assuming, if you assume that he passed out the Chacham against Rav Yaakov, which is a pretty safe assumption, so that means he's assuming that we have figured out Lahakel. Which, as Rishon pointed out, is strange, because the Gemara is a teku, and this is the issue of a Daraisa, which should have said, Daraisa L'chumra, right? A sukkah doesn't have walls is possible in a Torah. So the shayla, whether this is valid walls or not, is a shayla level of daraisa. So we should, normally the rule is you have a take, we treat it like a safik. Safik ra'isa l'chumra. So it's interesting, the Rambam is being makel on this take. But let us see the hemshech ha-gemara. Let's see where the gemara goes. This, ibailu, I'm sorry, Meisvei. Should we pass like Rav Huna, should we pass like Rav Nachman? Not dalet kundesin ba'aretz. You have four poles now. What's different about this brisa? The sikach al gaba and Rav Yaakov Masha Chacham Poslim. What's different about this brisa and the previous brisa? One word. Ba'aretz. The ba'aretz tells me that we're not al svas hagag. And there's no gudasik, clearly. And yet, machlokas, Rav Yaakov is machshir. Ba'aretz dekem zagag dami. The soil, if you make it on ground level, it's no better than the middle of the gag with no good asik, and still kamach shir Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov still says it's kasher. To you, to Rav Huna, is it a fatal blow to Rav Huna? Gemara says yes, it is a tiyufta. He wants to say Rav Huna said that the emsa gag everyone agrees is possible. That's demonstrably incorrect. Right, we unearthed another brace, which Rav Huna probably didn't have. Tos says in a couple of places every. I'm always expected to know all the Mishnais, but no one can know all the Brises. Always more. Brises are not a fixed corpus. So we found a Brisa, and that's the end of Rav Huna. Because clearly this is, Rav Huna said this case is no good. Let's just chart that out a drop. Right. Rav Huna had said, that this case is a machlokas and this case is no good. And Rav Nachman had said, this case is a machlokas. Right? And what he said over here remains a little fuzzy. So we just proved that this is wrong. Rav Huna says that case number two is everyone agrees it's possible, but it's not true. We got a brisa that says the Ba'aras, which is the same case number two, machlokas. The Gemara says, we're on a roll. The od to the emso de pligi aval sasa gag dura kol kshera. Maybe you could go a step further. The machleik is a dafka over here. The year is kasher, which would be a second attack on Rav Huna and would nail down the terrace to the baya of Rav Nachman. Then would have a tuv to Rav Huna betarti. Maybe it's a double tuv to Rav Huna. Maybe you can not only attack the second thing he said, which is that case number two is Lekulei Apostle, maybe you could attack the first thing you said. Rav Huna claimed that the machlokes, there was a machlokes, but case number one, maybe no. Rav Huna, no. Rav Huna says essentially what we had in the Abaya, which is interesting that the Gemara is repeating it, which maybe lends more strength to that Girsas Hagonim. Rav Huna, please give me Emsa Gav, who adeos Fas Hagad. Rav Huna could look at the Braisa and say, well, you see from the Braisa, perhaps the Machlokes are both. So maybe you've upshogged me on the second point. You haven't upshogged me on the first point. Just because the Braisa is Machlokes over here doesn't mean there can also be Machlokes over here. You could present both. And then we'll take questions in just a moment. And please give Emsa Agag, well, I did not Svas Agag. It could be Machlokes on both cases. Aye, why is the Machlokes be Emsa Agag? Why if this Braisa presents Ba'aretz? The point that every Braisa is talking about this, the second Braisa is telling me, even this case of Yaakov is Machshir. Even though there's no good Asik, there's some other phenomenon of Diomed, which was the Gemara says. That's the next Braisa, where the Gemara explains why would Yaakov be Machshir over here? Because if the poles are thick enough, they're tough out by tough out, we can imagine though they're like L-shaped brackets and like pasta biros, that counts as a wall. A lot of imagination. But Rav Huna says, maybe the second brisa is talking about case number one, but I still maintain that the first brisa is talking about, the second brisa is talking about case number two, Ba'aretz, but Rav Huna says, I can still maintain that the first brisa is talking about case number one. And maybe they're arguing in both cases. The first case I said was Asfas Agag. Rav Huna said, look, I have to admit that I went too far. I said, but Bemsa Gag Divrakal Pasul. Okay, I take that back. But I can still maintain that this case was a machlokas. Well, you have to tell me this case also a machlokas. So that's sort of where we ended with our Ibai with Rav Nachman. Right? We're not sure. Rav Nachman had said Meirosh that this case, second case number two, is a machlokas, even the first brisa. But where does that leave us in terms of Al Sfas Agag? We're not sure. So what do we end with? Then let's turn to questions before the bell. So let's encapsulate what we have. Let's encapsulate what we have. Again, we had two brises. Both of them mention a case of four poles, Srach, and Machlokas Reb Yaakov the Chacham. The second brisa is clearly not based on good. As we said before, the question which Shigwan never said explicitly, but obviously propelling the whole, driving the whole Gemara, is how's Reb Yaakov say it's kasha? There are no walls. And the Gemara, as I said before, does no Amora entertains the possibility Reb Yaakov doesn't hold any walls. The question is, there are walls, but where are they? So the second brisa, it's clear that the walls are not based on good asik. The second brisa is talking about a case of four poles in the soil. So it must be this fancy idea of Diomed, which the Gemara goes on to say in the last brisa here, which we'll read Mirchem tomorrow. Something fancy, not good us. Which leaves open the question, how about that first brisa that didn't specify where these poles are? So it's a we're not sure what to do with that. Rav Huna thought that's the machlokas. And the Gemara is willing to say that it's conceivable that it's that maybe they're both machlokas. We're also not sure what Rav Nachman held. Rav Nachman also thinks machlokas, or Rav Nachman was convinced that that's kasha. So when the argues in the Gemara that had any bai by Rav Nachman and an open question about Rav Huna, so when we end for both Amoraim, that it's a possibility that this is a machlokas. The first case is also machlokas. Tana. In other words, a possibility that Rabbi Yaakov, that the Chacham don't hold of Gurasik here, which is consistent with the first piece of where we read, where Rava said there's no Gurasik. And let's close, and Tosfos says, on the other hand, how could I entertain the possibility of Svasa Agad Divrei Kol Kasher? He says, because maybe this is better in Mechitzas Nikaras than Amud. There are real walls. They don't go all the way up to the Sach, but there are real walls. Walk into the first floor of the house, there are real walls there. So maybe that's a little better than the Amud, which has no real walls whatsoever. I'm glad we will pick up tomorrow. This lays out the Gemara, lays out the approach to the Ran. We'll pick up tomorrow with the strange approach of the Rambam. And we'll see a Ramban in Shabbos, and then hopefully this will give us a more multidimensional look at our Gemara. If you have to run to the bus, by all means run to the bus. If you want to hang around for questions, I am glad to stick around for questions.